Last night, close to 1,000 people packed into Revolution Hall to figure out how our communities can respond to the loss of hope in the wake of Donald Trump's election. The event was called What Now? Here to talk about it is organizer Natalie Sept. Thanks for coming in, Natalie. We're really honored to have you in here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
What happened Monday night? What happened?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible just to look back and see what had occurred after just a week, essentially, of organizing and planning. I came back to town. I was working on the Hillary Clinton campaign, was in New York, and started to get all this information from people wanting to give back. And what began as a small meeting with 10 people grew into almost 1,000 people in Rev Hall, interested and eager to turn their anxieties, fears, and whatever else into positive action.
I do want to ask you a little bit more about how it came about, because you make it sound easy. So, I mean, like, when did you have this big idea and what did you do?
It's funny. So I was on the road for Hillary Clinton as part of her press advance team, and we were putting on rallies, 15,000 people rallies in 2 days. So I came from this extremely high pace, fast moving environment. So I thought, oh, yeah, well, we could put together. And I wasn't intending on like thousands of people. It was going to be something that I was hoping to provide space for. I didn't want to own this event, really. I wanted to come home to Oregon, where I'm from, and do something with people. And it happened because of the interest that this incredible network that I've been able to amass over the last couple of years, they just went into action. And yeah, that's where it came from for them.
So you mentioned your network. Who participated? Who's in your community with this?
A variety of different people. I've had the honor of working for Congresswoman Bonamici. I was a district representative in a variety of different avenues. I've also ran political campaigns here in Portland. And then beyond that, I've worked in restaurants. I've been, you know, in the service industry. I've done a lot of volunteer work. So it really spans a variety of different people, and lucky to have also the art community and design community too.
Let's stop a second and have you explain a little more about yourself. Natalie Sept, I know you as a visual artist. I know that you organize things. What do you do, like, when you're not here in the KBOO building? I should have built up that question in the beginning, because what you do is amazing. So you're a visual artist, but you're an organizer. Talk about your work.
Oh, thank you so much. It's interesting. I was raised by, my mom was an architect entrepreneur, and my dad was a Safeway store manager for 30 years. So I grew up going in the halls of, the aisles of Safeway during, remember when they used to be closed on the holidays? So my dad would actually go and take my brother and I into the store, and we would check on it. And my brother and I would race shopping carts down the aisles and stuff.
You did not.
But anyway, just the theme of work has been in my family for a long time, and also just creativity. So I actually went to school, was going to study political science, did for a couple terms, and then switched my major to painting. And I ended up with a BFA in painting, to the chagrin of my parents, who were very nervous about me landing on my feet. But I did a series called The Dishwasher Project a couple years ago, highlighting people, dishwashers, in Portland with giant portraits, which are now hanging in Adelante Mujeres.
In Adelante Mujeres. So back to now. What is your larger goal with this effort? What do you want to see come of it?
I initially really just wanted to use all of the skills that I had gained as an advanced person to create a space for people to start to think about ways that we can give back and use this really anxious, uncertain time and put that energy into action, hoping that I can turn what happened last night into something that can be replicated. I think it's really teachable. I'm lucky to have a great network with people who are really engaged and plugged in. But I think there are certain things organizing that we can do and scale beyond Oregon.
Sometimes when we look around this KBOO building, like, we're going to be celebrating 50 years at KBOO in a couple of years. And so we, after election night was shocking. We had a live election night event here. There were dozens of people in this building. We were shocked by what happened, and we all had ideas about what it was about. But it makes me wonder, when you organized this event, at what point did you realize that that whole building was going to fill up? I mean, you know, did you just watch it fill up? Revolution Hall is not a tiny shack. It's not a tiny shack.
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you realize the what's the word I'm looking for? The nerve that you had touched. You touched a nerve. People, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. So when I was in New York, and a lot of folks were getting in touch with me, and they were just like, what do we do now? I started reaching out to friends in Oregon, because I was going to go to D.C., and I decided that I wanted to come home. And when I came back, I reached out to some folks who'd been organizing with the campaign, and they said, there is a huge need. Thousands of people are looking for answers. And this by no means is an antidote to the world's problems or, you know, the one singular thing that will fix what we anticipate to be major challenges. But when we started organizing, coming up with this idea a week and a couple days ago with a group of folks, I had 100 people want to get involved just to organize it. And then beyond that, when we started talking, we put this in play, and we initially had trepidation from organizations, and they were like, you know, who are you? Or like, what do you want to do? And we kind of didn't know exactly. But when we hit the end of the week right before this Monday, we were way over capacity. I mean, thousands of people RSVP'd. Even more thousands and thousands were interested. And I don't really know what that means on Facebook.
No one does.
About 1,200 to 1,500 people came through last night. And of those folks, I mean, a lot of people were lined up outside. They couldn't even get in. Like, we reached capacity, you know, I think, you know, an hour into the event. I mean, there's a huge upswelling, and people wanted to get in. And now there's a huge amount of people that said, I can't believe I missed this event. And it's just exciting because we hear from organizations that were there. They'd never had this many people sign up an event like this. They'd never had this kind of engagement. And other folks telling me that great ideas came out of just being around other people and the positive energy.
How did it work? Like, what did you have? What was on the agenda?
So the only structured part of the entire night was a speaking program. And those speakers came together in a really kind of magical way. I had these planned meetings with different friends, and I mentioned that I was working on this and trying to solve the problem. How do you have a non-political, you know, ideally a person in a marginalized community, you know, a person of color or somebody who can speak eloquently and passionately about the future while speaking honestly? So walking that tightrope of, you know, the perceived doom of what's happening, but also instill some sort of call to action. And I feel like we did a really good job of pulling that together.
Alberto Moreno, wherever you are, we're talking about you. Anyway, but I kind of want to hear a little bit more. Part of it, so I heard you say something that was unpolitical. Part of what we're seeing is that people sitting next to each other in casual public places suddenly discover something about each other and just dislike each other intensely, because some people feel like now's the time to plant the flag. Other people feel like I heard all over and I don't understand where it's coming from. How do we approach that? I mean, is that the sense that you got when you said, you know, pulling the politics out is kind of what I heard you say?
Yeah. I mean,
talk about that a little.
I think there's the thing in the election that happened is that we're seeing a lot of this hate and vitriol unearthed that was there all along, kind of just beneath the surface. And I think that the thing that we need to do is figure out ways that we can be connecting. And something I think that art does is eliminates all of, I mean, there can be art that's very political, but maybe design, music, and also I think sports, it give us an opportunity to kind of connect beyond politics. But I think that that's something where I feel like we're really missing, and that was what I was hoping would happen, is that folks could just let that fall away, whoever you voted for, and just think about, okay, these are some perceived threats. I mean, it is uncertain. We're not exactly sure what's going to go, but how can we lift each other up and be an example for the rest of the states?
So did the event turn into more of a discursive thing? There are speakers for sure. Did it turn into like a Q&A session at the second half? Or how did you, I guess, solicit opinions and thoughts and feelings from the audience?
You know, I really wanted to be hands off about this whole thing and kind of provide a space for things to happen organically. Because there were so many people in the room, I didn't feel like a discussion was going to be the right kind of, it wasn't going to be the right kind of environment for a thoughtful discussion, having 1,000 people in a room. I think there are some really incredible conversations and listening that is happening in the throughout the state and the city that is really important that I've tried to lift up on the Facebook page and highlight. Ideally, I wanted these like happy instances to occur just by putting the structure in place with the organizations in the hallway. And the feedback that I got was that happened.
Talk about the organizations in the hallway. What do you mean? So a lot of our listeners didn't get to go, and I just want it. I want them to hear everything about it.
Absolutely. There's so many different organizations. We tried our best. We reached out to over, I believe, 75 organizations trying to touch on things that we perceived would be threatened by the incoming administration. And so, you know, everything from immigration rights to healthcare to social justice to social safety net, some arts and education, political activism and advocacy, organizations that are already doing incredible work in the community, variety of things from, I mentioned Adelante Mujeres, they were also there. You know, Planned Parenthood had a strong presence there and others that had to do with reproductive rights, but also the Oregon Environmental Council, ACLU.
Donovan Smith was there.
But that's just a few, and just the ones off the top of my head. But there was, we tried to get as many as we could there. And unfortunately, just because of the shortened timeline to capitalize on that energy, we weren't able to have everyone. But we're hoping there's other opportunities we can do to provide them space.
We want to ask you about that a little bit later. We noticed that Alberto Moreno seemed like a major player in this event. He's been on these airwaves a few times, a man of incredible integrity. Can you just for a moment talk about how the Hispanic community was represented last night and what you took away from that as a white woman? You know, what can white people take away from people of color in this situation?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that that's a great point. I mean, I think white people are waking up. You know, this is not new. Like the threat of, I think he and also Ana del Rocio Valderrama, she did an incredible job speaking and announced her candidacy for David Douglas School Board as a way to galvanize people to say, I'm digging in. And I will talk about her for just a minute and then Alberto, but she said that her son, her four-year-old son, had a very visceral response to Trump being elected and said that he was afraid, more for his own mother's safety, that she would be taken from him and that she feels that fear. And everyone in the audience, I think, understood that there's something that's happening that's very real and scary. And so I think that there's that kind of perspective and that story needs to be shared. The conversation around the wall during the election and not even conversation, threat, and other things like that. I think that the Latino population, Hispanic population we don't know what's going to happen, but there have been very clear threats that have been made, and I think it's important to listen. And Alberto is an incredible speaker and spoke eloquently about having irrational optimism, which I think is kind of the point of this whole thing, was irrational optimism.
I feel like that was the phrase I saw on social media. Did you see other communities whom we should be especially vigilant in supporting right now who turned out last night?
I think really any, like I said, it's so uncertain now to know what the ramifications are going to be. But you look at the people that he's surrounding himself with, and it's pretty clear, given their track record, that they're racist and are very close-minded to a variety of different populations. I think that there's a strong sense from the things that he's already said that people that are in any way dependent on federal subsidies and support, people on Medicaid and Medicare, folks depending on the ACA, Obamacare, any, you know, reproductive rights, things that he's been explicit about mentioning, he and also the folks that are going to be around him. It's just hard to say. So anybody that's a vulnerable population, I think, is needing to be considered. And I think he's made explicit references to people of color.
I want to ask a question now that's almost, it's almost repetitive. I mean, I guess we're all kind of walking in a, I don't know, it's like an echo chamber. I'm freaked out. You're freaked out. We're freaked out. So some of us at KBOO have been thinking and talking about how this situation reminds us of the Reagan years. Okay. And the idea that Nazis could be in the White House, there's people of color who've argued for generations that white supremacy is alive and well in American government. And it seems like many that were previously not as directly impacted by white supremacy have begun waking up to this, but it took a presidential election. As you listened to people on Monday night, what were the biggest fears you sensed? I mean, I keep coming back to this bell because not everybody understands and is not on the page with us about what we're all afraid of. I know that sounds random. You already mentioned the child afraid that his mom could be taken.
I think just safety in general and however you can interpret that. And I think I'd like to just pivot that now and just talk a little bit more about the fact that people did come in And there was an opportunity to share thoughts on what we called Right Now, W-R-I-T-E, Right Now, on the wall, similar, pulled from the New York subway installation, if you're familiar with that, where our therapist asked people to express their thoughts, feelings, and ideas.
There were thousands of sticky notes.
Yeah, yeah. We had the same thing, led by an individual, Stacey Brewster, who does a lot of volunteer work with Right Around Portland. Gave people prompts, and one of them was talk about fears. But the interesting thing throughout the night is that there was another opportunity to give a video testimonial, and they commented that folks came in scared and uncertain and a little bit nervous and not feeling like they've really come out since the election, and that they've been, over the course of the night, that changed and they became positive. They're like, this is the first time I felt engaged and energized and galvanized. And they commented saying, I know what I'm going to do now. And I think that that's the whole point of What Now, was to help people turn that around and not be afraid.
I know that there was a similar meeting in the San Francisco Bay Area, so other people are doing it too. Is there a way, Natalie, that people can connect to this event after the fact? Is there a way people can plug into What Now, now?
What Now, now? Yes. We are still figuring out what to do with this incredible momentum, but we do have, we have an Instagram account, What Now PDX. We have Facebook presence, and the video, the actual speaking portion is going to be available online. It is available online. There's a YouTube link that's available at the Facebook page. And then we're going to be launching a website to really dive deeper into those organizations that were present. And then still looking at updating and trying to track what exactly the ramifications are of the new administration. But we, I'm hoping to put together a toolkit so that other individuals can do the same thing. I mean, I have to say it came together really easily, but it was, I think, a lot because of the people involved.
I also want to take this moment to say that on Friday, December 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m., we here at the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Department are having a citywide meeting in this building to talk about how we do news and to invite everyone in here to plug into what we have going on. Really want to suggest people do that. So, Natalie Sept, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
That was Natalie Sept. Selections of What Now can be viewed online on YouTube and also on the Facebook page. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.